Hello, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. We just had one of those conversations that just, it's so thought-provoking. It's so invigorating. It's one of those, it was these weeks where we've had kind of a long week, but then we have one more item on the agenda, and it's recording a conversation like this. There's just so much energy you get out of the by the end of it, and it's really fun to be able to share those. So I guess I'm currently feeling great and reinvigorated on all of the things that we've gotten to do.
Yeah, I was thinking the same way. It's amazing how little energy I had going into it because of the week we've had and the lack of sleep and everything else, and how much energy I have now just from one meaningful, authentic, connecting, and just genuine conversation.
I agree. Our guest this week was Linda Levin, who is a coach.
And for
ironic reasons, I introduce it that way. what we really got to discuss is like identity and not attaching to titles, and I threw a title right away, right in there. So I'll take the mea culpa on that one.
Just wired that way. But yes, one of the first things we talk about, which we then thread through the whole conversation, is this expectation and autopilot on attaching a title to the question, who are you? And actually, we go into how we don't even answer the question, who are you? Because we're answering a different question. But when somebody says, who are you? Our default mode is, I am a fill in the blank. But that's not the question. The question is, who are you? And what will it take for us to actually know and be able to answer, I am fill in the blank, not a mother, a consultant, which are what we do. It's not who we are. And I still don't know how I would answer the question, who are you? I was thinking about it the whole time. And it's like, I hope she doesn't ask me, because I don't know how I would answer it without an A and a list of things and a resume.
Yeah. And it was a good reframing of her own question when she also asked things like, how would you describe yourself? It's still a place where it's ripe to immediately be like, I am a lawyer. That's how I describe myself. But it is, again, back to what we do. So when we think more about how we describe ourselves, and if we challenge ourselves to look outside that title, how do we describe ourselves? Who are we? It's a great question to ask anybody, and just a great conversation. She's very eloquent about thinking about identity, and it's such an important thing that runs through our lives in ways we don't really think about until we take the time to actually pause and look at it.
Yeah, definitely. I highly recommend this conversation, and I'm sure we'll have many more with Linda.
Yeah. Please enjoy.
Enjoy.
Welcome to Uncover the Human, where every conversation revolves around enhancing all the connections in our lives.
Whether that's with our families, coworkers, or even ourselves.
When we can be our authentic selves, magic happens.
This is Christina Amigoni.
And this is Alex Cullimore.
Let's dive in.
Authenticity means freedom. Authenticity means going with your gut.
Authenticity is bringing 100% of yourself, not just the parts you think people want to see, but all of you.
Being authentic means that you have integrity to yourself.
It's the way our intuition is whispering something deep-rooted and true.
Authenticity is when you truly know yourself. You remember and connect to who you were before others told you who you should be.
It's transparency, relatability, no frills, no makeup, just being.
Welcome back to this episode of Uncover the Human. Today, Christina and I are joined by our guest, Linda Levin. Welcome to the podcast, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Alex and Christina.
Welcome. We're excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here. I'm curious as to where this is going to go and what we're going to talk about and things. I even have my pen and paper. I'm ready to write down things and we'll learn from you.
Oh, excellent. That's a lot of pressure. We're gonna live up to this. So, Linda, let's introduce you a little bit to the audience. What's your background? What brought you here?
Oh my goodness. Alex, you want my titles?
Oh, your story.
Your story.
Your story.
My story is, after 50 years of employment, started working when I was 15, right? So I'm 65 years old. I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to wrap up all these things that I've done and all these titles that I've had? And who am I really? And I started having the deep inner secret conversations with myself on the legacy I want to leave in the world. And a friend recognized that maybe I would enjoy coaching. So a year ago, I signed up with Coactive Institute and had their initial training round, and now I'm in finalizing certification with them and loving my business of coaching. It is pretty amazing. So that's what brought me here. This is my seventh career. Is that crazy?
It's awesome. It's not crazy.
That's great. That's so cool. You're talking to two chronic reinventors. So we love the fact that anybody has that many careers.
How does that happen? When you were 18 and somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did you say, I want to change jobs every whatever?
I love the fact. Yeah, we are chronic reinventors. I know that for myself, I've learned, I've gotten the awareness and the acceptance. And actually, it's kind of how I function and present the expectations of others of me. Is I love learning new things and getting deep enough to, for some things, get dangerous. And then I like doing them and inventing how to do them and creating them. But for the ones that then become static, I'll do them once to see how it goes, twice to tweak based on the first time. And then after that, I'm like, okay, I'm done. Next, what am I learning?
Isn't there freedom in that, though? Because the whole idea of transferable skills.
Yeah. Mm.
But you kind of have those, you go, oh, yeah, I could do that. Or I could do that. Sure. So much fun. Yeah. Alex, you too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love exactly that cycle, Christina, that just like that learning portion. You do it twice, maybe to like tweak a little bit. And that third time when it comes around and it feels pretty much the same, like, all right, nope, it's time to do something else. Let's go learn something different. Let's go try something different. Let's go combine two other things. I don't know.
Well, and somebody said to me today, your day is never the same. And in this job, it certainly is not. It's amazing. I have had jobs that day after day after day can get repetitive. Mm-hmm. And you're right, the word stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
That is not on my vocabulary. Yeah.
No.
Oh, gosh.
So one of the things we've talked about, which is very much tied to what we just said in our introductions, was this piece about the coaching journey that we're on, because one of your many careers is being a coach. And how a core part of what we see in others and we hopefully help them walk through is the identity.
Yes.
Piece. And so I think that the flexibility that all three of us clearly have, it's tied to the fact that we don't anchor our identity into our job title, our career, to the point where we can't be flexible. And it's a big deal to change. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, and it can get exhausting. To keep reinventing yourself over and over is exhilarating as much as at moments you go, I have to explain who I am again.
Yes.
Christina, I had an interesting experience. I'm a member of Rotary and we have this 30-second, 2-minute kind of deal. Tell us about you. Introduce yourself to the members. And about 3 years ago, I was handed the microphone. No time to prepare, right? And I listed off my titles. And as soon as I sat down, I knew something didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a lot of work with identity right now, just trying to figure out how people identify. And came up, and don't you dare tell me that somebody else has already coined this, because I think it's an original thought, but I could have read it. Who knows? Who knows? Can I try something out on you guys real quick?
Yeah, anytime.
Please.
Play along. I've already told you that.
That's fine. We'll give you full credit that it is your original thought. You heard it here
first. It's on a recording, so yeah.
Alex, if I were to say to you, Alex, who are you?
Yeah, and that's a hard question.
Describe yourself. What would you say?
So there's definitely been times in my life where it would have been a list of titles. So I've been like, well, I do this. This is the thing that I'm currently on. And then I probably would have somewhat abashedly hidden some of the other titles, since they're in such different fields. It would sound like I'm, for lack of a better term, career schizophrenic and lots of different identities all at once. And I think now I'd probably rooted a lot more in, if I was to describe myself, and values. I'd read a lot more as I want to lead from curiosity. That's honestly the one that comes up every single time I do any kind of value assessment. Is curiosity is always just key. Curiosity and authenticity, and I love getting to bring that out in other people. And whether that's self-serving or not, since those are my values, I don't know. But
but you've hit on exactly what I have found people to say. I am versus I am a.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And outside of the coaches, like you guys, the people who I've just asked, my clients, for example, who are you? I'm a. Mm-hmm. I am a. I am a. And then I said, take out the word A, who are you? Mm-hmm. And you're right. It goes straight to the values.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a kind of an aha moment. And that's what I did in this meeting. I am A, or I was A, label, mm-hmm. But that's not who I am. And it's been interesting to get to the who are yous without a title.
Mm-hmm.
And it hits. I mean, it hits at every transition of our lives. Look at us talking about transition.
Mm-hmm.
So it works for everybody. And then you get to ask the whys, right? Okay, I am a teacher. Why? Well, because I like the schedule. Why? And sometimes you keep mining it down,
yeah,
and they get there. It's like, I value education, or I value seeing the light go on in a student's eyes. The real purpose that I am a, that was my aha moment of, oh my gosh, how many people identify with I am a?
I never thought about it.
Okay.
Wonderful reframe. I love it. That's
seriously.
So cool.
I just yeah. There's a book out there that I'd read somewhere.
Not one that we've read. So this is definitely a Linda original.
Yeah.
We'll stand. We'll put a trademark on it.
I've never thought about the fact that we add the A and then list the resume, the LinkedIn profile. I've gotten to a point where, and I'm sure it's my own button that I need to resolve, but I get triggered, maybe a big word, but I lose interest. That's probably a better way to say it. I lose interest when in a presentation, in a workshop, in a place where somebody is about to provide value in some way, they start with their resume. And most of the times, we're already in the room. We already chose to be here and listen. I've done my work. If I wanted to know the resume, I would have looked on LinkedIn before showing up. And if I didn't do that, it's because that's not important to me. So can we get to the value? Can I learn from you? Because learning your resume is not learning from you. I'm not learning anything that I couldn't have looked up myself. Mm-hmm. And so I then find that I turn it around on me and start realizing like how many times that I used to walk in and expect myself or think that people were actually interested in listening to my resume as a first thing, first way of getting to know me. And so we actually reverse that as a company with our clients. And when we meet prospective clients or people within our client group that we haven't met yet, we ask them if they want to hear about our background and have them make the choice. Because we know we've been introduced, somebody invited them to the meeting, they can research LinkedIn just like we can. And so rather than imposing the rattling off of like, well, I started in consulting in New York and then I became a management consultant and I learned this and then I did that and then I went to MBA school. And it's like, if you're here and you're trying to determine whether you should listen to me, if I actually provide some value, that is much better than my 10 years or 25 years of naming places and people.
Exactly. Exactly. And yet, I did look you guys up because
yes.
I'm curious, one, but sometimes it does provide some kind of connection
mm-hmm.
for those people who don't associate their identities with values.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, we did the same kind of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be a connection in there somewhere. Probably the three of us would go to values, mm-hmm. but they want to know what city you worked in or what, you know, yeah. what your culture yeah. was, or do you know? Do you know what's the one degree of separation within your?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I look people up all the time. Don't get me wrong. because I'm looking for that. What's that one connection? What's that maybe surface connection that then can get us to break the ice to get to the values, to really see if there's a human connection behind it? And so that definitely helps and helps understand what are interests if people get to work in their interest area. What are some of the things that I can connect to before I know the human? Because I haven't gotten to know the human yet. When I think about it from the reverse side, it's more about me because I know how much I look people up. I'm like, well, then when I walk into a room, do you want to know about me? Maybe you just finished looking me up.
Right. We don't need to check. Well, don't exactly. You can introduce yourself to clients. It's like, no, the client knows who you are. I mean, you know, they wouldn't have invited you had you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I even found, and I'm kind of rebelling against this. I mean, my resume is here are the dates and here's the title.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're supposed to go back and hide the dates and just say for 10 years I worked in this role and had these responsibilities. I understand what you're supposed to do, but I'm really struggling and rebelling. I just want to go, no, this is what it is. If you want to get to know me, call me.
Yeah, I'm there.
That's
full,
it.
Full on. That's it. If you want to get 100%. To know me, call me. Otherwise, we can all do the math. If I say 14 years, you're going to go back to calculating when I was supposed to graduate from college and add the 14 years and figure out like, oh, that was 2003. I was in the same industry. So why not put the dates? Put the dates.
That's so funny that you say that because, I don't know, there's a degree of authenticity. Here are the facts, guys.
Okay.
Just go with the facts. And then let's have a fun part of getting to know each other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea. It gives me an idea like for resumes, maybe instead of just, hey, here is my title and here are the years. It's fun to have the years and the title, but hey, there's some people are getting better describing here's what I did in the role. But it would be really interesting if people started putting, here's what I learned from this role. Mm-hmm. Here's what I take from this into the future. That might be a really cool like addition to resumes. And that would be a cool way to see how people have thought about their own journey.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
First note, Alex.
Yes, I got one thing written down.
It's a competition now. I got to figure this out.
It's not a competition, but I'm going to write a point on my board here.
Yeah.
That is true. Maya Angelou says, and I have this right here on my desk, so I'm reading it. You are not the work you do. You are the person you are. Mm-hmm. I recently read, and I have no idea where I read this, so it's not an original thought. Your obituary is going to say what you did. And they've gotten really nicer lately as to loving mother and yeah, but still titles. The friends who show up and tell stories about you are going to talk about your values. They're going to talk about why they love you. They're going to talk about why they're taking time to be at your memorial. And isn't that who you are?
It is.
I just find it fascinating. And here's another reason. The first time I ever heard this, here's my title, but I did. I had a bookstore and the women would come in May and, oh my gosh, I can't wait for graduation. You know, as high school senior, get them out of here. Can't wait. We'll have a great fall. And in the fall, they would come in and go, I don't know who I am. And I remember that's the first time I had ever heard grown people say they didn't know who they were. And since then, I feel honored that people are opening up and saying, in this transition, I don't know who I am. This is a new thing. And my realization that we all go through it. We do have all new identities. Sometimes we just have to talk it out and figure it out. What's the strength? And it's so much fun to do. It's like the strength is there. I mean, the belly button is there. Mm-hmm. You just have to find it.
Yeah.
And it's there. You've got a core. Mm-hmm. Let's have fun. Let's dig. Let's find this thing. And that way you don't ever have to come ask me to look for your belly button again. And I have no idea where that is.
Oh, I like that.
That's a great one.
It's one of those things is there.
Yeah, just lift the armor. Get rid of the armor. You'll find your belly button.
Yeah. But isn't it fast? Oh, stop it, Alex. Stop that.
That's just funny. It's a funny image. Especially when we talk about so much like letting go of the armor during coaching and helping people let go of some masks and find that. Just the fact that under that, instead of just being like a core person, is like, I searched for your belly button is hilariously focused for me. I don't know. I think it's a hilarious image.
Oh my gosh, the metaphors that are coming up in my head right now. And I'm kind of person. Just like a belly button, you all have strengths.
I was just thinking of like an opening coaching question for all sessions so that you can understand where we are, which is, you know, you start a coaching session and the first question is like, okay, what kind of day is it? Do you know where your belly button is, or are we searching for it today?
Okay, you can cut this whole thing out if you want to.
This is staying. Oh,
we're going to call this advanced navel gazing.
Well, I told you sometimes things just come out. So that one just came out. I have no idea where that came from. But no, seriously, understanding the strengths. Okay, it's in there. Got to find it. But or them, you know, hopefully everybody has at least one they can go to and then expand on. I just find the whole thing about identity interesting. Can I give you another quote?
Oh, yes, please.
Please.
One of the things.
Keep them coming.
We've all read Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I was leading a discussion on that this week, and I just thought this was great. So this is James Clear. When your behavior and your identity are fully aligned, you are no longer pursuing behavior change. You're simply acting like the type of person you already believe yourself to be. So it's that alignment, finding your strength, knowing your identity, and aligning your identity with who you really, really are.
Mm-hmm.
Without a title.
Without a title. And that's the thing. Your title is not who you are.
Yeah.
It's incredible, though, that we all do have somebody that we are and spend so much time with that identity. And we kind of externalize that. And in the language that you're talking about, Linda, when you say, I am a, like you're now putting a label in that. You're living in that box. This is now where you kind of assigned your identity. Your identity still exists and it always does there. And coaching is a great way to like get into that core and understand it. But it's incredible that that's always there. And yet we focus so much on the box that when that changes, we feel like we've lost the identity because we just haven't paid attention to the fact that it was there in the first place.
Yeah. And here's the other interesting part about this to me. There are so many people who hesitate to go there.
Oh, yeah. It's scary.
What is scary? I don't know why it's seen as a weakness. Why is that? And maybe you guys can help me with that. Why is it a weakness for someone to identify their strengths? I mean, if you think about, oh God, here goes my head again. Think about Russell Crowe. I mean, he's out there and he's a gladiator. He knows his strengths.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if you talk to some people with titles, they don't want to let you know who they are.
My first guess, just gut reaction, is they don't know who they are. They haven't done the work.
And why? Are they afraid that it's going to show a weakness as opposed to understanding that it's really a strength?
Sometimes I wonder if it's reinforced that we're supposed to work on our weaknesses or not supposed to talk too much about our strengths. You know, there's some reinforced idea that, well, you know, be humble about that. If, you know, so maybe you're good at that, maybe you're not, but let other people decide that or something. Or it's like, well, if you have weaknesses, that's what you should really be focusing on and developing that so you can deliver your title better. Like, that's, there's where you deliver your title again and refocus yourself on that. And I wonder if there's emphasis on that as well.
Well, at the same time, we can't share our weaknesses because we're supposed to be perfect. If we have weaknesses, then we don't deserve the title and all the status stuff that goes with it. So we can't share our strengths because that's bragging. And we can't share our weaknesses because that's whatever, the opposite. We have vulnerability and we could be rejected because of our weaknesses and all of a sudden we're not perfect. So then we default to something external to us, a title that's the same that millions, potentially tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people have. And then it's not really about us. It's like people will relate to you based on the title and they'll make the judgments based on the title, but they'd never have to really see the real you. And you never have to really show it because if I'm a senior partner, well, then you respect me just because of that, not based on how I treat people, what I actually do to improve life for myself and others.
Okay, Christine, I just wrote that down. So you guys are one and one on the write downs thing. That's exactly, because I like the idea. If we say, no, this is a strength of mine, then that does sound like, ooh, 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 braggy, braggy.
And not to us.
That fine point of vulnerability and admitting weaknesses. That's why I like the word curiosity. You don't have to admit a weakness. You can always just say, I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a neutral word. I go into curious as opposed to I'm scared or, oh, I've got this attitude. But then the title does give you that neutral. But then you think about people who say, I have to act this way because I have this title.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have to act strong or I have to act decisive when I really don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be such a better team if I just sat back and kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. Oh. And I have to hide my weaknesses and my strengths at the same time with that. So if I have strengths that are outside the title, the norm of the box of the title, I can't share those. I can't show that because then it confuses people.
That's interesting. It's two layers of using the title like as a shield. You use it either like this is who I am, then you don't have to do the work. And then you also then attach strengths and weaknesses almost to the title. And you don't have to worry about when people are looking at you or evaluating you, it's well, then maybe it's about the title. Maybe it's protecting ourselves from that, even as we desperately cling to that identity and shield itself.
Wow. Okay, here's another James Clear. This is the last one. It's one thing to say, I'm the type of person who wants this versus I am the person who is this.
Very different.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking about your identity and your habits and what you do, I want to think of myself as active. Therefore, I will go to the gym. So I can tell people that I went to the gym. Therefore, they think I'm active. And I am being active while people think I'm being active. Is that weird?
I say that's normal human society where we stand today.
Yeah, but because I see myself as active, I will be active.
Mm-hmm.
But if I only wish I were active or I want to someday be active, winners and losers all have the same goals. That was another James Clear quote. So I lied when I said that was the last one. But that resonated. I mean, everybody wants to be a title of some kind. I want to be whatever, as opposed to I am that, therefore my actions will follow what I am. The power of titles. Ooh, that's a title of a book.
Yeah, it is a title of a book.
That's a great book. I'd read it.
Let us know when it comes out.
Yeah.
And you bring up a good point. Like, I am the person who does this. I am the person who's active. Mm-hmm. Then you're assigning to, you're getting into the lifestyle of somebody who is active. When you say, I want to be active, what you're saying is, I am a person who wants to be active. And now you're investing in that space of wanting and not being. Mm-hmm. You're investing in that distanced relationship with what you're saying you want, which is being active.
Mm-hmm. Distanced relationship. I like that. Well, and I mean, we can choose any vocation, but those people who say, I'm a writer or I like to write, dramatically different person than the person who says, I'm a published author.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the titles we give ourselves, or I try to write, or I enjoy writing. Mm-hmm. You are a published author. Act like it. Own it. You are. Yeah. You're successful coaches. Mm-hmm. Own it. Is that bragging? Is that getting too big for your britches? Is that being grandiose in your idealization of your identity? Or is that just who you are?
I think it's getting too big for the people in the room who don't have that self-confidence.
Yeah. And getting too big for your britches is a relative state. Something other people cast upon you.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think it's going to be fun to see if you take the I am a, the next time you hear an I am a, if it hits. Because there are people, and I have clients who said, I don't know who I am. That's why I'm here. Yeah. And it's just a gold mine. Oh, it's just so much fun to watch the aha moments mm-hmm. go, yeah, actually, that is what I am. Or, no, that's not who I am. And then they come up with, this is who I am, my goals, my visions, my strengths.
Isn't it interesting how we don't even grammatically actually answer the question correctly? Because when we answer the question, and coming from a non-English speaker, this is tall order. We answer the question with, I am a consultant, I am a coach, I am a lawyer, I'm a senior partner, I have a VP, I'm a CEO, whatever, insert whatever title of the moment will give you the confidence to walk the room. But the question is not, who are you? The question we're answering is, what do you do? So grammatically speaking, we're not answering the question correctly, because we should be actually saying, I practice law, I coach people. What do you do? You don't return it with, I am. I do XYZ.
So you bring up the whole thing of the being and doing mm-hmm. seesaw. Who are you? And again, you're not the work you do. You are the person you are. Mm-hmm. But because you're the person you are, Maya, sometimes that's why you do the work you do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And when you do the work exactly. you do without knowing why you do what you mm-hmm. do, that's where the disconnect, I think, comes in.
Yeah, totally agree.
Do you find that with the people you work with?
Yes, we were just spending this week in a leadership development course where people are understanding the changing of identities. You get mm-hmm. into leadership, you lose some of that identity of being maybe the individual contributor that was promoted to being a leader. It is a change of identity. Now, the phrase that everybody brings up all the time is, what got you here won't get you there. That was you then. And now you're in a different role. And when we have to detach ourselves from the idea that we are a list of skills that we bring to the table, and suddenly have to do something entirely different, it's a huge identity crisis moment for a lot of people. There is so much attachment to that being who we are. And Christina, your linguistic point, I think, is spot on. I think it points to how in our brains we connect those. We connect doing and being, and we keep saying it as if it's the same thing, even though grammatically it's entirely off.
It's like somebody asking you, what do you want to drink? And your answer is no. Okay. What if you answered the question?
It's so true. Oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about that. Okay, Christina, you've got another thing to write down.
I am winning.
She takes the lead.
That's who I am. I am winning. I've just escalated the ceiling of bragging. Even higher.
I just attached to the state of winning. I am that now.
I am. That's exactly what conversations about this bring up. Just another layer of, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then when that happens, it's that wonderful aha moment that you go, oh, I get it. And I know exactly who I want to share that with. Because then we want to share the aha moments.
Yeah.
You know what I find to be a hilarious kind of twist on this is that I would comfortably say, knowing all of these things we're talking about identity and not wanting to attach to a title, I can fairly comfortably say, I am a coach, because I see it now as a mm-hmm. mindset. It is an expression yep. of values, of curiosity, of wanting to be there with people and help people and adjust that. Not because I have clients or not clients or paying clients or not paying clients. None of that is wrapped into what coaching means in my head. Coaching becomes a mindset. And then I'm comfortable saying I am a coach, even as we discussed so much about not attaching to that title. I still feel like, yet I have somehow found a title that I can assign to without feeling like I'm violating the principles of not being attached to a title.
So how about if you rephrase that? Does it make it easier if you said, I am a coach because I value...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In my mind, that's where that sentence ends. That is exactly where it goes. I am a coach because that's how I express how I interact mm-hmm. in the world. Not because it's in set coaching sessions, not because it's in this hour of a meeting. And it's just how I prefer to approach the world. And that's a good encapsulation of things that I value.
Yeah, I like that. I am a coach because of how I show up for other people. That's what makes me a coach. It's not the certification. It's not the hourly rate. It's not the number of clients. That's why coaching is being, it's not doing. True coaching, successful coaching, as in value producing, value giving coaching, It's a state of being. It's not a state of doing. I coach clients. It's a state of doing.
But being with.
Creating that space. You can coach in any situation. It doesn't have to be a coaching session. When you're a coach, you just coach when you communicate, when you show up for people.
We think about those moments in our lives that you will never forget when you're with. Being with someone who's giving birth. Holding someone's hand as they pass away. Being with moments where you don't have to say anything. You've created that, I call it sacred space, in a non-religious way. That space that can't be described in any other way except soulful, intimate space where you don't have to communicate in any other way but being with, just being. Mm-hmm. That's coaching to me.
Yes.
That's just that intimate moment when somebody has that revelation of, as I've said, this is a strength and I can use this and this is going to change me. Mm-hmm. And that strength may change, but now I know the process of asking myself the questions of how to get to the next strength or how to use the strength in the situation. To be able to be with and witness that is an honor.
Yeah, I think witnessing that transformation from the awareness, the light bulb goes off, to the acceptance and the release of judgment because of this new thing is different from the old thought, the old way of seeing things. And then the power, and I think that's where the magic really happens, and you can feel it in the room. And we felt it multiple times this past week, and especially on our last day there, when you can just feel that leap into consciously choosing to embrace this new awareness and knowing that they're going to fly.
Yeah.
When they leap.
I love it. I love it. It's the best. And it's one of those things when I run across someone who's having an issue, I'll give them your name, or someone who I feel needs someone to talk with. And I want to go, why are you waiting till you get on the field of combat to be ready to learn how to use the weapons that you need? And that's kind of a brutal, violent way of thinking of it. But in life, sometimes, as you just use the term armor, I guess maybe that's where I'm picking it up. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing this. How do we come in strong so that we can be our best selves? Mm-hmm. You don't do your first 500 push-ups for the first time as you went into battle, quote unquote battle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the thing in preparation for that moment is essential. So that's another. And that, I think, Alex, when you say I'm a coach, it brings up so many questions and brings up so many judgments in people. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are you out to do? I don't want to tell you my secrets. Are you trying to get me to divulge something that I didn't go there? Are you going to make me cry?
Yes. The answer is yes. If you cry, we succeeded.
There it is. There's your measure of success.
That's the measure of success.
Maybe, or maybe you walked into the room. Oh, here's one that happened last Friday. It was so awesome. At the end of the session, and this was an aha moment that I just floated on, and I'm still floating on. She said, I didn't want to tell you that I came in with a really big stress headache. I didn't want to start our appointment like that because I needed to be present. But I just want to let you know, I don't know what happened, but it's gone. And as the coach, you're grinning inside because you're going, coaching works. It just works.
It does.
It's a transformation. Mm-hmm. So I left the meeting real fast because I wanted to end right there. The fade out.
Yeah. The music chime comes in and you're like, we're done today.
But she did it. She's the one who did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She did the book. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Titles and belly buttons.
There's the name of it. It's the title of a book.
Titles and belly buttons.
Who's not going to buy that?
One thing I want to write down from what you just said, Linda, is the idea that you can do some of this work to prepare yourself before you're in a situation where you need it. Like, what if you do some time? And it's something I think we, just based on how we work in society and how we've generally done it, we're usually behind the eight ball by the time we're out in the world. We don't have this awareness and this need for it until we hit some stumbling block where we finally like, wait, I need to look up. But it is a really good point that doesn't have to be when we do the work. We don't have to wait until it's a big struggle and we're already in the battle to start thinking about what can we do to prepare ourselves? What can we do to gain our own mental resilience to the point where it doesn't have that falling off a cliff moment or hitting a wall? What can we do better in preparation?
I truly, truly wish I had had some of this insight early in my life. I think I would not have searched for my strengths in exterior ways. Yeah, I really do value this whole process so much. And yet, what's very, and I was just talking about it in a meeting, you have to be careful the vocabulary you use in talking about it. I call it woo-woo. Sometimes it can get really, really woo-woo and therefore turn people off because it's not practical. It's not the way we talk. We talk about consciousness and mindset and these words that if you're in the business or you're of a certain ilk of reading or whatever training, you get. Mm-hmm. If you've never been in that, it just sounds too ethereal, foggy, mm-hmm. spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's just out there as opposed to practical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so intangible, we feel like we can't even like talk about it.
Yeah,
but isn't everything intangible? That's the thing. We put things in boxes thinking that's tangible. Numbers are tangible until somebody 10 years from now is going to prove us that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. And they probably have already proven that. So we just decide what's tangible and what's not tangible. And isn't living, being aware of our conscious and unconscious and knowing how to understand that way more tangible than any science out there? Gravity, that's made up. Everything else is made up.
But we're not trained that, or my generation was not trained that way.
Oh, mine either. Don't get
yeah, mine
wrong.
Either.
I think there is more of a movement now toward understanding peaceful communication, understanding compassion, understanding empathy that is celebrated even commercially. Thank goodness.
Yes.
As opposed to in the past, we never let down our guard.
Yeah, because we're all so perfect.
Yeah.
And it works out so well for the people around us.
It's delivering the results I wanted.
Yeah. Well, we could probably go on for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days and pretty much debunk every single piece that's out there in life. It's a whole like philosophy lesson. I'm finally utilizing my philosophy degree. In search of belly buttons.
Oh,
that is a dissertation I would read every day.
Oh, goodness.
So that just means we're going to have you on a few more times, Linda. We're going to have many more of these conversations.
Oh, she's like, come out. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we might uncover some help for people. It'd be horrible.
I know.
You know, when I said I was leading the discussion on books, I do call that discussion Books for Living. And I had to think about it for a while because life, thank goodness we are finally getting to the point we realize, you know, life happens.
Yes.
It's kind of my saying because it's been accepted more than the other, but life in all of its messiness, life in all of its knots and twists and turns, how exciting. Wouldn't it be boring if we didn't?
Yeah. Life either happens to us or by us. We get to choose.
That's right.
Yeah, that's one good succinct summation of coaching. It's helping you understand there's a choice. That is a choice.
Yeah. Guys, I have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. And we could philosophically talk. But Christina, when you get into real deep philosophy, I'm going to give you my philosopher's. Can I give you my philosopher's quote?
Oh, yeah, please.
Her name's Dolly Parton.
She's a good one.
Dolly doesn't know it. She's my sixth cousin. We do need to let her.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
I know. My relatives and her relatives grew up in the holler together. Bless her heart. She'll figure it out someday that we're related. But this is what Dolly says. Find out who you are and do it with purpose.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That is a great one. So on that note, what is your definition of authenticity?
You know, you told me at the beginning of the podcast before we went on that you were going to ask me that. So I haven't had a chance to actually formulate a philosophical response. Authenticity is having the space, the joyful, free, non-judgmental space to use a term like belly button. And know that it's going to be received in the spirit with which it is said.
That's awesome.
So thank you for making this an authentic experience. It was a lot of fun.
It definitely was
a
lot of fun.
And thank you for bringing belly buttons back in for your definition.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm still shocked by it. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Where can people find you, Linda? To have more of these conversations outside of listening to our broadcast.
No, my website is lindalovin.com. I'm real original.
You're authentic.
Right.
And my Gmail is lindalovin@gmail.com. So
there you go.
Pretty simple. And I do appreciate it. I love conversations like that. I'm growing. I'm learning. I am.
You are.
These active things moving forward, and it's having conversations like this that make me come alive. Thank you.
Conversations like this, that's why we started a podcast.
Yeah.
We like to come alive multiple times a week.
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
Yeah. Welcome back to Colorado.
Thank you so much. We will, for sure. Have a wonderful
weekend, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Uncover the Human, a Siamo podcast.
Special thanks to our podcast operations wizard, Jake Lara, and our score creator, Rachel Sherwood.
If you have enjoyed this episode, please share, review, and subscribe. You can find our episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.
We would love to hear from you with feedback, topic ideas, or questions. You can reach us at podcast@wearesiamo.com or at our website, wearesiamo.com, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. We Are Siamo is spelled WEARESIAMO.
Until next time, listen to yourself, listen to others, and always uncover the human.